You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day, and it happens to be Friday. Praise God. Ready for the weekend? I'm always loving Friday because preaching is right around the corner, and I love being in the pulpit and preaching the Word of God, and I am preparing for that. This Sunday, my sermon is out of 2 Peter chapter 2. We're starting chapter 2. We're going to look at, Peter's going to tell us about the angels who sinned and how they were confined to a place called Tartarus. Now, the Bible translators translated it hell, but it's a whole different Greek word, and it's only used here. Tartarus, the angels that sinned. Seems like the end times are really tied into the days of Noah. This is the second time now the apostle has tied in that we know the Lord's return is near when things are as they were the days of Noah. Now here he's going to tie in the angels that sinned with the time of Noah. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when he returns. And what characterized the days of Noah? Nonchalance. People going about their everyday life, marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking, and just going on with their everyday life. Oblivious. The judgment of God was right around the corner. So, all right, well, that's where we're at. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2. We also have Holy Communion this weekend. So I invite you to Island Community Church. Why don't you come on by this weekend? We'd love to see you. Our service starts at 10:30. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. You can join us on our app if you're unable to attend. You can watch online. That live feed will kick off right at 10:35 Sunday morning. You can worship with us through the music and listen and take part and open your heart and your ears to hear the Word of God preached as well. So that's what's going on this weekend. Here today, we're going to play something from 1 Peter. It's called, It's Time for Judgment to Begin at the House of God. So that's what we're going to hear today. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. Love to see you on this Sunday morning. Believe it or not, this is going to be an easy sermon for me to preach today because of you people. Probably be a lot harder for some other pastors. The things that Bill Steinberg said before are going to figure right into what we're looking at. But I don't know. I don't want to speak for you. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak. Matter of fact, we need to pray. Lord God Almighty, I don't want to assume anything. We listen for your voice. Speak to us where we know that you speak in your word. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. There's people in this church today that need your healing touch and your blessing. Bless every soul that's here in this church today. Minister exactly what's needed to every person here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. I've entitled this sermon, Judgment's Coming. Or, how are your investments doing? Now, before I go any further, perhaps it's best to take another verse from someplace else so that we can't be accused or run the risk of taking this verse out of context. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, Romans 14:12, as I live, saith the Lord, that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue will confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, Christians tend to believe that since they're now Christians, that this promise or threat does not apply to them. So let me set the record straight as we move forward this morning. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So yes, know, and understand that as a Christian, you will never be condemned as a Christian. You will never be on trial regarding your salvation. Never. And you won't be condemned, because that's the whole Christian faith, is that the man in the glory was condemned in your place. That's what the whole thing of what we believe. The substitutionary death of Jesus, as the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. I'm a condemned man. That's why Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? He did. That's why you will never be judged for your salvation, for your works, because you can't make it on your own. Therefore, you need a deliverer and a substitute and someone to pay the cost for you and fit the bill for you, and that's him. The man in the glory, Jesus Christ. Makes you want to shout, doesn't it? I'm going to say this early today. That's good news. We usually wind up there. Again, the book of Romans. Listen to this, Romans 5:1. It says, having been. Guess what? That's past tense. Listen, having been justified by faith, that is, God took his gavel, and he took it, and he slammed it down, and went wham! And the heavens shook. The doorposts quaked. And God looked at each one of you who has received his son, Jesus Christ, and said these words, not guilty. And you'll never be up on trial again for that. It's not based on what kind of a week you're having. It's based on his blood. You're not on trial again. So let's get this straight. What I'm about to read to you is not for your salvation, because your salvation is guaranteed by someone better than you. Someone who is able to guarantee it. Romans 5:1 again. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, condemned? Never. Give an account? Oh, yes, you will. And me right along with you. I don't get a free pass because I'm a pastor. That means I'm first and you're after me in line. Now let's get started this morning. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting up in verse 17. No longhorn sermons around here. I'm listening to Chuck Swindoll again. He was talking about a longhorn sermon. You know what that is? It's got one point here, one point there, and a whole lot of bull in between.
1 Peter 4:17, it says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what'll be the end of those that don't obey the gospel of God?" See, Christians think they are immune to judgment or scrutiny by God for their actions. And Peter is saying, since even you are going to be judged, imagine how bad it's going to be for condemned unbelievers. And then he built on that thought in verse 18, where it says, if the righteous is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? By the way, you won't find that verse in your Bible unless if you've got my Bible. It's not in yours. That's what I wrote, a little joke. Someone asked, what's this on the handout? Find that in your Bible and I will buy you lunch. Donna, you got it? No, that's not my Bible. Sorry, Inspector Clouseau, but that's not my Bible. No, that verse where it says, verse 18, I challenge you to go to Proverbs 11:31, and you find that in your Bible, and indeed I will buy you lunch. Because unless if you have a Greek Septuagint, that ain't in your Bible. Peter, and it kills me that no one gives a reference to that verse. Even this book that's called The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, it's a prize for pastors and those that study. It links every word ever spoken in the whole Bible. And it doesn't even link what Peter said back to Proverbs 11:31. Let me read to you what Proverbs 11:31 says. Behold, Proverbs 11:31, it says, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and sinner? So that's not what Peter just said. But he quotes the Greek Old Testament verbatim. But that's lost on him. He didn't pull that out of a hat. He had a different Bible than we have. That's one of the reasons I did that translation. I don't understand why all of these verses these apostles quote are either gone or wrong or misput. No, they're not. He's quoting from a different Bible. That's verbatim. If the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? But anyway, what does he mean by that? He means that throughout all of time, very few people have gone through that door. For there is still only one way to be saved. The Lord Jesus declares to us all, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, Jesus also said, enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction. And many are those that enter in through it. Then he said, oh, how narrow is the gate. And confined is the way which leads to life. And there are so few that find it. That's why he says, scarcely. Out of all the people throughout time, and there's only one door. Again, Peter writes, the time has come that judgment must begin. It's got to be here. Not somewhere else. It must. Follow that word. Now, there's a word study for you to do sometime. When you're bored, trace the word must throughout your Bible. It's an awesome study. Lazarus, or what is our Zacchaeus, says, today I must eat dinner at your house. Or wires, I must be about my Father's business. Must. It's a fascinating study. And now here, the time has come that judgment, it must begin here in this house. Not out with unbelievers. Right here in the house of God is where it starts. Judgment starts here. In the house, right, in the church. The house of God. Here's a great commentary from John MacArthur. He says, not condemnation, but the purging and chastening and purifying of the church by the loving hands of God. It is far better and more important to kingdom work to endure suffering as the Lord purges and strengthens the church than to endure the eternal sufferings of the unbeliever in the lake of fire. Now let me give you some more examples of each of us giving an account to God like we read. Turn with me, if you would please, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Got your Bible today, Richie? You need a Bible? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And this is you, here today, in the here and now. And these are the things, these talents, in which we shall give an account for. Remember our text, the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And you will be judged for what you've done with the talents that God's given you. Church, here's what God's saying to you today. This is the message from God for you today. It is, I have commissioned you, or better yet, I have paid you to build my church. That's God's message for you today. I have paid you to build my church. Now let's see how these guys fared in this parable. For the sake of this parable, it's not important how much a talent is. Or was. It's not important if this is a double play on words. A talent being a unit of weight, or a talent like playing the piano like Glenda does. Knows every song in every key. That's a talent from God. She might not have $30 million, but she's got a talent from God to bring people joy. Do. And what was their reward or judgment for failing? Verse 16. So then, he who had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with them. And he made 5 other talents. Or he made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received the 2 gained 2 more also. All right, you see, it's not important what you have. It's only important with what you do with what you have. It's not important for what you have. It's important for what you do with what you have. It's like, let's see, who can I pick out? Gene. God giving Gene $1 million and saying, I am trusting you with this $1 million, Gene. Go and build up my kingdom. Compel people to enter in through this narrow gate. Now remember, you're a slave to righteousness now. You're chained to it. The Bible says you are compelled to do good. Here's $1 million from God. And I'm coming back again to see what you've done. And then God given $1,000 to build and saying exactly the same thing. As for the last person in this parable, verse 18, starts with the word but. But he who received one, he went and dug into the ground and he hid his Lord's money. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. You see, the time is coming for judgment to begin here at the house of God. It starts here with me first as the spiritual leader of this church, and then you as well. I've been given a lot personally. Some of you say I'm a good teacher or that I have a good working knowledge of the Word of God. And yes, perhaps I do. But keep in mind, this is the talent that God's given me. And the time is coming when I'm going to have to give an account for what I've done with what he's given me. Same like the guys in this parable. Now, prior to sharing Jesus' response to these gentlemen and contemplating their fate, let's have our halftime entertainment show out of the book of, as Donald Trump would call them, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 9. It says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent. That is, whether we're alive or whether we're dead. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him because we must all... Oh, there's that darn word again, all. You know, if only I was a Calvinist, then I would know all doesn't mean all. All means my grandmother in Schenectady somewhere. All means all. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive the things done in their body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Verse 11 naturally follows, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. All I can say to that is, I bet. Knowing what he knows, he persuades men. Oh, if you knew what he knew. Paul didn't need faith there was a heaven anymore. He'd been there. Paul knows what's coming, and therefore he persuades men. Jesus is real. He's coming back again. Therefore, he's persuading men that today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Like the Jews did in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years they tempted me in the wilderness. You see, the time is coming at the end of the age or at the end of our lives when you and I are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for what we've done with what we've been given. But know this, again, this is for rewards. Not condemnation. The Bible is clear. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. These things are not done to decide whether or not you're good enough to enter into heaven. Because we already know no one is good enough to enter into heaven. The Bible says in Romans 5:2, speaking of Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Your access key is the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you need help to get in. All right, now let's see what's happened to these three when the time came for them to give an account. Matthew 25. I'm going to respond here using the New Living Translation. Matthew 25, starting in verse 19. Matthew 25, 19. Now, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account. Now, imagine this happening to you. You get home, you get an email. Sharon, see you at Island Community Church Tuesday at 10:30. And you say, but my shop is open. And he says to you, come alone. And you, 11 o'clock, and you, 12:30. You in the back, see you Thursday at 4. But come alone. Not only is that not far-fetched, that is going to happen. Whenever he comes back, or whenever you go first, whatever happens first, the time is coming, we're all going to stand before him, and we're all going to have to give an account for what we've done. What a scary thought. That word for appear, I read to you before, we must all appear. It's the same word used to give a summons by the court. Or back, I was told in the old days when you were drafted, you open up, you would say, greetings. You need to report it. One word, greetings, and then you need to get your rear end over here Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Jesus is likewise, going to send his own calling card. Now, after a long time, the master returned from his trip, and he called them, let's change the word them, to you. Watching too much Daffy Duck, I got pronoun trouble. You. The master returned from his trip, and he called you to give an account of how you had used his money. You can count on it. So it will be for you and I. I'll keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Imagine receiving that summons. Verse 20. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver. Now, a talent, they're not inaccurate in this description. A talent is about 75 pounds. It could be silver, could be gold. Generally, silver. So again, the servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. And then the New Living Translation says, and the master was full of praise.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Glory like a fire.